Wow, of course, in the background you hear Mr. Bojangles. This is Jill Ajeezy, and we're here on Family Matters. I'm so excited because Saturday night here in Springfield, Illinois, we have the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and of course our own John McCune from Syndicated News will be here, and I am so excited to go and talk to him and meet him. And so for all of you who are in Central Illinois, this is a rare opportunity to meet John McCune, see the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and be part of just a part of my teenage years and childhood and remembering all those great songs that John and his band put out. What a great guy. So we're excited to see him. This is an interesting show tonight. I've titled it Bring Jacob Home, and I'll tell you why for a reason in a second. I want to tell you about a couple of things that are exciting that are coming up and that are happening now and hopefully producing great things in the future. And that, of course, is the Jason Patrick story, Stand Up for Gus, his not-for-profit organization that he found. And for those of you who don't know about Jason Patrick, it's a very interesting story. So, you know, one Google and you can find out all the details, but just a brief overview. Jason has been denied access to his son Gus for quite some time. Many of us have been denied access for much longer, but it doesn't matter. One day away from your child is much too long. So Jason is mounting this wonderful campaign that is creating awareness and educating the public, and he's on Fox News and CNN and the Today Show and Good Morning America, and he is all over the place, and he is a dynamic speaker as well as not too hard on the eyes. So easy to look at and easy to listen to, but he is definitely making a splash in the parental alienation arena, and this is something that we have needed for a long time. We put our eggs in Alec Baldwin's basket, and that didn't work out. He got back together with his daughter. Their relationship was repaired, and thank God for that. Now we have Jason. So let's see if we can really make a dent in this thing we call parental alienation. So get on Facebook and like Stand Up for Gus and really take a look at what Jason's doing in the United States with the support of many, many other celebrities, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck. You'll see some names that you definitely know there. An interesting thing about Jason is that he is Jackie Gleason's grandson, and I can remember watching Jackie Gleason's show when I was a kid with the June Taylor dancers. So everybody knows how old I am now. But Jason is a terrific, terrific spokesperson, and under the tutelage of Amy Baker and all of the great parental alienation experts that exist in our country, they're being very supportive and helpful to him. So Godspeed, Jason, and let's get this thing eradicated if we can. I'm excited tonight to talk to a young man. His name is Andrew Folkler, and he is, in my opinion, a courageous, brave, assertive. There are so many adjectives that apply to him. I'll stop and I'll just introduce him. Welcome, Andrew. How are you? Andrew,
I'm good.
Are you there?
How are you?
There you are. Hey, I'm good. Thank you for being with me tonight. And I hope you heard all of those things I said about you. And that's no secret. I've told you that. I think you're just an amazing young man. And the reason being is because you were an alienated child.
Yep.
And you, at this time, you're 19, correct?
Yes.
And you came back to your mother. You were alienated from your mother, but you have a little bit of a twist, and this happens in many parental alienation cases. The alienator in your case was your stepmother.
Yes, she was.
So I want to start off, because there's two things we want to talk about tonight, is your campaign that you've started on the internet, and you know, you're well on your way to going viral, I think, with your Bring Jacob Folkler Home campaign and your great videos that you're producing about parental alienation. But I want to talk about you for a moment, and let's hear how it all began for you. How old were you when the alienation started?
Well, let's see, the divorce took place when I was 6 years old, so 13 years ago. And, you know, it was a very traumatic time. Being 6 years old, I didn't understand what was going on. I asked the familiar question, why can't mommy and daddy be together? And it was just really hard to deal with. And then shortly after, I mean, I was still having contact with both parents, and then my dad met Gloria, my stepmother. And, I mean, once Gloria stepped into the family, everything changed. I mean, diet changed. I mean, it was just, my whole world flipped around. And it didn't start off immediately terrible where I was being completely cut off. It was very gradual in a sense where, okay, so she started off by cutting out people associated with my mother. You know, like a babysitter my mother would rely on to help us out, or mm-hmm. some of her friends who would visit us. And then it moved on to hurtful language used to describe my mother. So, for example, I mean, the one thing that was always stressed was mother didn't care about us, she abandoned us, she is off with her boyfriend doing something else.
Mm-hmm. And you know now from your research that language that she was using, the hurtful language and the things she was saying about your mother, is very common in a parental alienation case, don't you?
Yes, it's very common. In fact, it's one of the first things used in this case. I mean, because what the alienating parent's trying to do is trying to stoke your anger. I mean, you're already upset about the divorce and how, you know, your parents can't be together, and you're watching your family fall apart, and you want some reasoning for it. You want something to justify why this is happening. And what the alienating parent does is uses this against the child and says, it's that person's fault because of these things, A, B, C, D, and then set. And it keeps going on and on. He or she will continuously to repeat it and never let it go. And so the anger just builds up inside, and it depends on the person. I mean, they can either bottle it up or
act out.
Or act out, and that is what happens. I mean.
So Andrew, what I want to ask you is, it began, the divorce was when you were 6 years old, and then how long after that did your father marry Gloria?
He was married to her for about 12 years. I mean, 12 and a half years, somewhere in between. And in that period of time, we moved to several different places, from Arizona to Michigan. And then from Michigan, we spent 5 years in Singapore. And then it was once that we were in Singapore, that's when the whole marriage started to fall apart. And
you're talking about the marriage to Gloria, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And why did you go to Singapore?
Well, the initial idea was, okay, Gloria's relatives were all in Singapore, so there was all of her family there. Then also Singapore is ranked like top five in international standards of education. So that was also another thing my parents were looking forward to. Also, there's a political thing that my dad wanted to leave the United States. He wanted to go to Singapore because it was more economically stable. Mm-hmm. But education and family were the two big reasons for it. And William and my brother William and I, and Jacob included, we all did really well for an Asian schooling standard. And that's what made it a partial success. And then with the whole thing falling apart with the marriage, then the idea of living in Singapore didn't appeal so much because it was extremely expensive to live there. And then so we decided, you know, it's about time we should probably move back and try again and start over.
Okay, let's stop there. Remember where you were in the story. What I want to ask you is, do you, as you look back now and think about the move to Singapore, how old were you when you did that?
I was 13, I think, right about 13.
And your brother?
William was 2 years younger than me, so he was 11, and Jacob was 6.
And Jacob is your half-brother.
Yes, Jacob is my half-brother.
And he is Gloria's biological child.
Yes.
I would just want to get this straight for everybody. William, you and William belong to your mom.
Yep.
And Jacob belongs to Gloria and your dad. So, okay.
Yes.
All right. So you were 13 when you moved to Singapore. As you look back at that now, do you see the move to Singapore as Gloria's idea and her way to continue to isolate you and your brother and your father from anybody here in the United States?
I think that is definitely possible. At the same time, I don't know if this is a conscious decision or a subconscious one. There's just so much to speculate on that. It could be very well possible that living in Singapore provided a 15,000-mile distance between me and William and our biological mother, which definitely made visiting her almost impossible, pretty much impossible, in my opinion. And, at the same time, would she? We don't really know. It's just a lot of speculation to really go through, and I don't. We thought about it more than once, and it's pretty much a game of what if,
right.
That's pretty much where we end.
Okay, so when your biological mother and your father were divorced, you said you were 6 years old. I just want to talk about a little bit the ways you felt emotionally and psychologically as the divorce happened. We know kids are not resilient through divorce, so you were already, you said, you were upset by that. You didn't understand, and I'm sure your brother, he was only four, so you're not understanding what's going on. Your father remarries. How soon after he remarried did the alienation begin? And two-part question, how did you, you were still probably reeling from the divorce and missing your mother, and here's what I really want to ask you. Were you having a relationship with your mother up to the point that your dad married Gloria?
Up to the point that Dad married Gloria, yes. We would visit her on weekends and that kind of thing, as said in the court documents. And then, once Gloria stepped into the family, it was a slow, gradual stop. It wasn't instant. At the same time, it wasn't slow. It wasn't a long period of time. It was, within a couple of weeks or so, then she cut us out from her, saying, you shouldn't go see her because of this, and this.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Gloria, was she intimidated by her? What had she ever even met her? Was she afraid of that your mom might come back and your dad would take her back? Or what do you think Gloria's fear was about having your mother around?
Well, one thing I've talked about in one of my videos is how the alienating parent steps into a family trying to create their perfect family or the perfect world where everything's in control, everything is peaceful and happy, everyone loves each other, you know what I mean? And so, yes, the alienating parent will be intimidated by the isolated parent because that isolated parent is, one, an outsider to the family, and two, capable of removing members from her perfect family. And so she went into this, I have to defend my perfect family and no outsiders, so please go, kind of approach. And pretty much that's the mindset behind it. And yeah.
So how were you feeling as your mother, as that window slowly closed on your mother? What were you feeling besides being upset, obviously? How did you balance that in your mind? My mom is here, and now my mother is bad, and I'm not sure why. Is that what you were thinking? Or just take me through that thought process. And I know it's difficult at that age to try to make sense of it, but that's what everybody wants to know about alienated children. How were you feeling in sort of a step-by-step basis?
Okay. Well, at that age, other than the anger and the frustration and wanting to justify why things went wrong, with everything Gloria was telling me, it slowly became, it is her fault. This is why everything went down, and this is why, I don't want anything to do with her. In fact, why don't I make Gloria my mother instead, because of what she's done, what my mother has done is unforgivable. I'm keep being told she doesn't care about me, so why should I even bother with someone who me? And and it just kept stacking up on that kind of rationality. And eventually, you know, about 2 months into the alienation, I started calling Gloria mom, and I started calling my own mother by her first name.
Mm-hmm.
Then every time she tried to visit us, I would tell her openly, you know, I don't want to talk to you. You abandoned me. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And, I mean, the anger was there for at least a year, I believe. But after that, I hit a period of indifference.
Okay. So the anger, and you know now that that was all, that rejection is unjustified. There was,
yes.
I mean, you didn't know then that there wasn't a reason for it because you believed what Gloria was telling you. But as you think back about it, how do you feel right now?
How do I feel right now? Honestly, I feel it's the past. There's nothing I can do to change it, but what I can do is fix things now. And so that's what I've been doing with my mother now. I've been, you know, I communicate with her every couple of days on Facebook. I Skype with her every couple of weeks. Me and William went to Las Vegas and spent Christmas with her. We spent about 2 weeks with her. And so that's how I believe I'll fix it. I don't think, you know, feeling guilty and feeling pity over my misunderstanding will change anything.
Right.
But I do know that, you know, I have the entire future I can rebuild this relationship with. It won't be the same. It might be even awkward at certain times, but it's better than wallowing in self-pity and hoping, you know, the wind will change things for me.
Good for you, Andrew. You put a smile on my face. Wow, what an intelligent young man you are. Okay, let's go back to where we stopped in the story. You were moving back from Singapore then, and you and William and your dad, and obviously, had the divorce already taken place?
Nope, the divorce is still in the process, even though it's been about a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just been really slow, and so, I mean, yeah, it started February 2013, I believe. And so, yeah, actually, it's been more than a year already, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
and so your dad wanted, did he want Gloria to come back here, or did he just want you and William and Jacob to come back?
He wanted us to come back because of the environment we were living in at home.
Okay. And when you left the country because of the Hague Treaty, Jacob had to stay in Singapore.
Yeah, when we talked to the U.S. Embassy about going back, one of the things they told us was, you know, you can't take Jacob with you because he is her biological son, and by the Hague Treaty, if you were to take a child across international borders without written consent from both parents or having both parents be present, then it's deemed as parental kidnapping, and what that would do is completely destroy all chances of ever connecting with Jacob in the future. And so we discussed this with him, we talked to him about it, and he understood what needed to be done.
And he's six.
At the time when we discussed this with him, he was 10.
Okay.
Going 10. On 11.
Okay. And so then your dad brought you and William back, and
yep.
Then you reconnected with your mother when you got back to the United States?
Yeah. Once we got back here, obviously Gloria's daughter and her son-in-law started attacking me predominantly on Facebook because they were convinced, you know, you can't really talk to my father about this kind of thing, and also you know, they've always treated William like he's too young and too stupid to understand what's going on, even though now he's only 2 years younger than me, so he's 17 now. He was 16 when we moved here. He's not stupid. He's smart enough to understand. So that's why they never really approached him. But with me, they send me long rants about all of this. So I was in the process of blocking them on Facebook, and then, you know, I saw my mother's name on Facebook, I was like, well, I guess there's no point in blocking her anymore, and I unblocked her. And within the week, she tried sending me another message, and that really surprised me. And I said, well, I'm old enough to make my own decisions. I might as well talk to her and see what's her side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Worst come to worst, everything I'm told is true, and I'll just go back to where everything was at first. But if not, well, maybe we'll see where this goes. And honestly, that's how it happened. And I began to talk with her more often, and we started building an actual relationship.
Andrew, when you first contacted her, was in a you know, conversation on the phone? Did you call her? I mean, you said you sent her a message on Facebook. Well, what was your first initial voice contact with her, and how did she react?
Well, my first voice contact with her would probably be through Skype, and her reaction was ecstatic and nervous at the same time. I mean, this is 12 and a half years of not talking to me, and so
right.
She really has no idea what my personality was like, or even you know, how I talk or anything like that. So
mm-hmm.
I mean, she was really nervous. But then I think I can remember that the first time I talked to her, I was cooking and was talking to her at the same time through Skype, and she was just elated. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and to see that kind of reaction from her, I can't even imagine what it was like going through 12 and a half years without talking to us.
Yeah, it's very difficult, Andrew. I will tell you that. it's a horrible
yeah.
thing. I'm at my 10-year anniversary, I guess is a bad word for it, but 10-year mark of not talking to my children. And it is a heartbreaking, horrible thing. But at the same time, and very clear by what you're saying here today, alienated parents have to understand that alienated children are going through much worse than what we are going through.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the conflict and the need to hate a parent is a horrible thing. And so what you went through, she understands that, I'm sure, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She probably didn't for some time.
Yeah.
So when you saw her face-to-face the first time, you and William, and in a second I want to talk about William for a minute, because everybody doesn't deal with this the same way. William mm-hmm. may have had a much different experience with this alienation process than you did, so we'll talk about that in a second. But
okay.
When you saw your mom face-to-face, you know, I always think, I want to feel my children's cheek. I always used to feel their cheeks when they went to sleep. So I want to feel their cheek, and I want to give them a kiss, and I want to hug them and hold them. How did she react to you when you that knock on the door? What was it like?
Well, it wasn't a knock at the door. She was picking us up from the airport, and
okay.
It was a 20-second hug, to be honest. I mean, when I first saw her, you know, her husband pointed and said, you know, there they are, and then we walked up to her. She ran up to us, gave me a 20-second hug, and she,
mm-hmm.
and then, I mean, her kids were kind of staring at us awkwardly, trying to figure out what to do, and then William just, you know, stood there, waited for his 20-second hug, and it was a, I don't want to say awkward, at the same time, it was like, okay, we'll see where this goes kind of experience, and, I mean, she was really nervous and ecstatic at the same time, and her husband was just kind of chilling, and the kids were not really sure what to do, but we broke them in after a while, and
good,
they grew
good.
Like
and
this.
You have, she has two boys and three girls, is that right?
No, my mother has two daughters and one son.
Okay, two daughters, one son. So you have
and then,
sisters and another brother that you had
yeah.
never met. That's exciting.
Never met. Mm-hmm.
Well, after that 20-second hug, did you feel a relief and a release of that guilt and that conflict? Did that just lift off of you?
For me, I think it slowly lifted off of me after I first began communicating with her. I mean, definitely more when I met her face-to-face, and I don't know if it's gone away completely or not, but I mean, it was kind of gradual. It was like fading out. Like everything that I've done wrong was, I mean, it's still there, but the guilt about it was fading out from the beginning, and then meeting her kind of killed it off completely.
Good, good. And now you're having a great relationship with her.
Yeah.
So did William handle everything the same way you did, or was he much more closed off? So what was his – and if you don't feel comfortable talking for William, I understand that. And if it's okay with him, you know, if you can just give me an overview, but if you don't want to, it's okay.
He'll be okay.
All right.
Well, okay, so the main difference between William and I is I've always been – William has always been the more emotional person between us two. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that's just how he always was. So, I mean, when his reaction to the divorce was often the more acting out kind of part. And for me, my reaction was the silent tears. I was the guy, you know, in the corner just watching, upset, keeping things to myself. William was the one who was, what's the word for it? He was the one exposing his emotions. And so... For William was first, when it comes to meeting our mother for the first time in so long, William was actually pretty hesitant at first. He was not so sure, you know, dipping his toes in the water, see if it's cold kind of reaction. And, I mean, I coaxed him into it eventually. And I mean, yeah. But, yeah, as far as how he reacted to the alienation, William reacted in a more emotional, outspoken way compared to me. So, I mean,
okay.
I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone deals with
okay.
it differently, so you can't expect the same outcome from every child, although it isn't good. You know, the results are devastating and long-lasting. Thank
mm-hmm.
God that you decided to make the step that you did, Andrew, and to lead your brother in that direction. You are quite a leader and a great role model for William and for Jacob and for, you know, your new brother and two sisters. So really proud of you. There's a couple of callers, so let's take a couple calls and see what's going on. Good evening. Do you have a what's your name?
Hello?
71. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, this is Brooke Thomas.
Hi, how are you? Do you have a question for Andrew?
Yes, I do. Hi, Andrew. I want to second everything that Jill has said as far as expressing her appreciation to you. I don't think you really understand what you're doing for target parents here. I'm sorry.
Thank you so much.
I really
appreciate
it. So I guess my question for you is that if there was anything that your mother could have done for you while you were in the throngs of alienation, what would it have been? I mean, validating your feelings, acknowledging that she knew what had happened. I'm just curious to know if there was anything that your mother could have done or you wanted her to do or thought about while you're in it.
Let me see. Okay. Yeah, because I know all the things she did right. I can tell you that much. But, I mean, thinking of things that she could have done better, I don't know what that would have done to the situation.
I don't really mean while she was parenting you, while you were living with her or seeing her. I mean when you were with your stepmother.
Yeah,
you're talking... She's talking during the alienation process, Andrew. Is there
yeah.
something your mother could have done to change or fight what Gloria was doing? And, you know, I think, you know, your hesitation to answer or you know, it's hard to say because you were so buying in to what
mm-hmm.
Gloria was saying that they're probably, I mean, your mother could have driven up with a truck full of gold bricks and, you know, gold Xboxes, and you
yeah.
would have said, you know, go home. I don't want anything to do with you, because the reality of it is you buy it, and you know, you were sold a bill of goods, and your mother could have done anything, and it really wouldn't have mattered, I think is the answer.
Yeah. Well, I can also tell you the things she did right during the alienation. I mean, that's the things that really are popping in my mind. So, I mean, she lived in Texas. She drove up to Michigan one year and visited us, came for our wrestling tournaments, and did all sorts of things, even came to church with us and that kind of thing. Even though Gloria outcasted her, she was still there. You know, we could still see her in the corner of our eye. And even though at that time we were upset with her, she was still there. And that's something that she can still say. You know, I was there. I never abandoned you. Another thing she did was, well, in that time period, she always wrote letters, even though 90% of the time we never read them. And that was also another good thing she did. Another good thing she did was, she saved up college money for us. I mean, I walked in to Michigan with no idea how I'm going to get myself back into the system and that kind of thing. And she comes up and she's telling me, you know, hey, I've got some money saved for you for college. It's not much, but it's still enough to help you get a good start. And that just amazed me completely. I mean, that was one of the last – I'm not a person that goes out and asks people for money. And so for her to come out and just drop a large sum of money in my hands was like, wow, okay. I did not expect that at all. But,
so does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I'm going to continue to reach out to my children, whether I get with no expectations around it, and I believe what Andrew said, that they look forward to it, that they want to know that I'm trying to reach out to them. So thank you so much, Andrew. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing, Jill.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate the opportunity.
Good luck.
No
good
problem.
Luck.
Thanks.
You know, Andrew, that is one thing that we continually preach in the parental alienation world is that you never, ever give up. And I think you validated that just now. I mean, as long as you continue to make the entrees to your children, as long as you call, I call and leave messages, I send emails, there's never an answer, but I keep going. You know, occasionally I'll get a little hope of something, a little glimmer of something, and so I think you're absolutely right. Right. Let's grab another call. The 248 area code. What's your name? Caller, what's your name?
Oh, hi. Hi, Jill. This is Barry. How you doing?
Hey, Barry. How are you? Barry is from Michigan and a great advocate up there. Barry, do you have a question for Andrew?
Well, the question is I just tuned in, so basically it was your... the alienation you went through was a step-parent situation? Is that it, or?
Yeah, it was my stepmother isolating me from my actual mother.
Okay, because I have a situation where my kids are being alienated from me by their mom. My kids were all adopted, and this is coming to fore now because of my son's graduating high school next week, and I got a call from the school yesterday and today playing phone tag, and basically says, he doesn't want you there. And I mean, that was the gist of what I got.
Yeah.
So, and so I'm kind of in a quandary of, okay, what do I do?
What do you do?
Andrew, what would you tell Barry to do if the school said, your son doesn't want you there? What would you tell Barry to do? And I think I know the answer, but why don't you tell him?
I would just go anyway. You don't even have to be, take pictures. I don't know if being seen by him there is a good idea or not, but just the fact that you're there, take some pictures, and that way someday in the future you can say, you know, hey, I was actually there for you.
Interesting, because Jill Bryan told me the same thing.
Yeah, I think Brian's absolutely right. Brian Ludmer, I assume, is who you're talking about, and he knows more about it than most people. Brian Ludmer, of course, the leading legal expert in the world on parental alienation, a dear friend of mine, and love him to death.
You guys,
he's right.
Yeah. And you guys are just so, talk about a lifeline for people like me and others that are out there, and I just... just fantastic.
Well, Barry, you get
no
on your go-to-meeting outfit, and you go take pictures and watch your son graduate, and someday you'll get paid back just like Andrew's mom did. So hang in there, and we'll talk to you soon.
That's what I'm hoping. I saw my thing with my daughter, but that's another story, which is like, oh, my.
Well, hang in there. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
I'm trying. Okay, thanks, Jill.
Thanks, Barry.
No problem.
All right.
We're going to grab one more question, Andrew, from the 970 area code out in, I think, Colorado. Caller? Are you there? We have a shy caller. Well, maybe they'll call back. We'll put them on hold. Okay, Andrew. Let's talk about, because this show is going fast, and we've got about 25 minutes left, I want to talk about what you're doing now. You have, as I said earlier, sort of garnered, not sort of, you have garnered lots of attention on the internet with your YouTube video postings regarding parental alienation. As I said earlier, you are extremely articulate and you know what you're talking about. You've done your research. So why did you turn to activism and what gave you that idea?
Well, I mean, to start all the way from the beginning, the initial idea was to create a website for Jacob. That was my dad's idea. He said, you know, let's create a website for Jake, and someday he'll Google his own name. And who doesn't Google their own name at certain points of time? And he'll see the website, and he'll see that we've always been there. And then, you know, I thought about it, slept on this idea. I mean, this idea is like 5 or 6 months old. And so then I said, well, hey, what if we took it one step further? We start campaigning it as a political movement, and then you know, I know a little bit about mass movements. I've read a few books on it. Then, you know, we'll all pitch in and everyone will work together for this political movement. And then, you know, we can connect through social media websites, and because that's how everyone's connected. So if everyone's talking about it, then everyone will hear it. And what better than that? And then I think beginning of this year, I joined a group, you know, youth college political activism group, Young Americans for Liberty. And from them, I learned some activism strategies that I could use. I mean, and I even went for a Michigan State convention where I saw Congressman Justin Amash and a few other speakers. And from them, I learned all these different ways I can connect to people, you know, doing flyers, creating websites, Facebook pages, and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of the backbone of it. As far as the videos, you know, the idea was, well, hey, if we're going to try and get our friends to support us, they're not going to know what parental alienation is. We might as well do some videos talking about it. And then, well, I did the first one, and I thought, you know, this needs more detail. So I broke it up and did more videos. And then from there, I will.
Andrew?
Facebook groups for parental alienation. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, okay, this is not just us. This is not even a small community. This is a huge group. So, I mean, if I post in my videos, maybe they'll support us. I mean, that was the first initial idea. And then the explosion of it was just amazing. And then everyone wanted to talk to me and ask me my story, and then I thought, you know, while I'm asking for their help, I might as well give them the help they need also. And so I continued to do my videos, and I work on my scripts for my videos and all that. And I mean, because I'm not in school yet, I'm still waiting for the summer semester to start. I have plenty of time to work on it. And so it just grew from an idea of, let's just do a website for Jacob to show that we never abandoned him, to a whole political movement. And even now, I mean, I never would have thought I would end up here on a radio talk just talking about parental alienation in general. I've been asked to go to D.C. and talk for the Fatherless Day rallies, which is...
You have.
Yes, I've been asked to do it. I don't think I will be able to do it because of the cost, but, I mean, I'll probably just go to the Lansing one in Michigan and do a talk there, which would be pretty sweet anyway.
I think that's a great idea. And as you said, you didn't know. As many alienated parents don't know. I mean, I get calls every week from parents who say, hey, this is called parental alienation. Do you know about this? There's a name for this. You know, so there's a lot of parents who are in the closet, so to speak, and they haven't they haven't come out to talk about their issues yet because they're embarrassed. There's a stigma attached to not having your children, and they're embarrassed about not having that connection anymore. So the more we can get people to talk about it as parents, it's really a great education and awareness tool. But if we can get kids who have been alienated, who have come back around to speak out just like you are, it's mm-hmm. going to spur on a movement. And I think you've started that.
Awesome.
So how many more videos do you have planned? Are you just going to keep going until you can't think of anything else?
I'm sure there will always be another video to do. Let's see. I got one more thing to talk about for parental alienation, which is rewards for compliance, which is just one technique used to enforce alienation. I've been kind of going on and off on a script on, you know, a message to the children kind of video so parents can send it to their alienated children, and hopefully I can create some sort of impact. But that one is kind of, I don't know if I'm doing it right or not, because it's meant to, you know, connect with children, and I'm, you know, going back and forth trying to figure out how to do it. So I'm always trying to figure out, am I speaking to the correct audience? And then another video I'm doing is how I rebuilt my relationship with my mother, just kind of a 10-minute talk of me saying how I fixed it up and how I realized the truth of it. That one, I've been asked so many times about it. It'd be great to do a video so people can watch it then. And what other videos am I doing?
That's a great one, and make sure you include, you know, everything that you've said here tonight, because you've touched on so many things about reconnecting with your mother that are mm-hmm. so incredibly important, especially the part about keeping attachment to your children through letters and emails and phone calls and going to graduations and, you know, all of that. Make sure you really hit hard on that, because that is so important, because so many parents, Andrew, give up. They give up because they've been financially, emotionally, psychologically devastated, and they think it's the end of the road for them. But look at you. 12 years later, you saw the truth, and you came back.
Yep.
So it's important to keep going. I want to go back to what you said a second ago about your video for rewards for compliance. Let's talk about that. What do you mean by that? Because people might not know what you're talking about.
Well, okay, so in my first few videos, I talked about different techniques to enforce alienation. So the first one was isolation. Second one I said was, what was it called? Exploiting the fear of abandonment. Then third one was harassment to the child and the isolated parent. And the last one was rewards for compliance, meaning the alienated parent will say, I will give you this if you submit and obey. You know, basic master-slave kind of relationship. It's kind of like bribery almost in a way. I mean, if you do what I tell you to do, I will give you a small token of reward. And what that does is it creates a sense of sympathy for the alienating parent because, mm-hmm. well, despite of all the bad things the alienating parent did, he or she is not all that bad because, you know, he or she is willing to help me out and give me these small tokens of rewards. And that is one of the main things you'll see in any abuse situation. And so that's one of the things I need to address in the near future.
Well, that's an important, important part, because so many people try to keep up with the Joneses, you know, and alienating parents have the upper hand financially, and they can provide so much more than the parent who is the target parent. So you're right, handing out cars and credit cards and phones and all of those things speaks very loudly to children, and especially to teenagers. I think in today's world, and I think you would probably agree, if you don't, please speak up, but I think a teenager today has a lot rougher go trying to survive in this world than we did when I was a teenager in the 70s, because it's a much more, I mean, technologically makes everything is so advanced, and everything is very fast paced. Families don't eat together, dinner together anymore. You know, they eat in the back of the car on the way to soccer or the 15 other things that a kid might have that night. So it's a difficult time to be a child, and I think parents today entitle their children much too much. So if they've done that in an intact marriage, think about how it's escalated in a parental alienation situation.
It's a difficult
thing for a kid to put up with. So how confident are you that Jacob is going to see these things and that you will eventually sort through this mire, a quagmire of red tape and legal issues and get your brother back home?
Well, I'm definitely sure he's seen some of the material I put out, because I think it was a week or a week and a half ago, I received a couple messages from Gloria's supporters saying, please take down the website, take down the videos, it's causing Jacob emotional distress, it's going to affect his career life, yada, 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 yada. And so that's the first thing that tells me he knows it's out there. Whether or not he's seen any of the material or not, that's really all the chance, I guess, but he knows it's out there, and he knows we're working towards a solution to reach out to him. As for sorting out the legal matters, it's without a doubt in my mind, failure is not even an option for me. This is my second master plan, pretty much. I mean, my first one, I'll probably talk about it in a video, is where I had friends try and approach him and meet him after school, and we'd talk to him on the phone. But that was really short-lived. And once again, I'll probably talk about it in a video. And after that plan failed, you know, realized I just need to come back with something harder and stronger.
Did you find that your friends in Singapore and family that you knew there immediately were turned by Gloria, or did you have some people that were able to hang on long enough to get you connected to him for that short time? I mean, obviously those friends that you said helped you talk to him, but were they then turned by Gloria as well?
Oh, no. A little bit of background story about Gloria, which I have not really brought forward, is her family. Her entire family supports us, which is really strange, given that it's, you know, it's an Asian family, and family is family in Asian culture. But her entire family supports us, and part of the reason for that is because Gloria's first divorce ended so badly that they blame her for it. I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't think it's my place to say much about it.
Right.
I wasn't there. But,
good
I mean, her first husband committed suicide, and they blame her for it. And that's one of the things I definitely need to address in a future video, but just haven't really figured out where to slot it in. But, I mean, that's one of the things, one of the main reasons why they support us so much, because they see this as deja vu.
Yeah. Now, will she have to come back to address the divorce issues when the hearing happens, or do you think she'll stay in Singapore and not bring Jacob back here at all?
She'll stay in Singapore. I mean, part of that is because the divorce is being held in Singapore court. And so that also adds a level of complexity that I don't understand that much. And also, I mean, she's in default for student loans, so she's definitely not coming back.
She sounds like a hot mess, and somebody that you don't want to be around too much. And so everyone makes mistakes, and so I'm sure your dad has moved on from this, and hopefully he can try to reconnect with Jacob, just like you've done with your mom. And now I'm assuming that you and William have a terrific relationship with your dad.
Oh yeah, I mean, Dad's always been there. I mean, even after the first divorce, one of the first things he told us, I remember this one very vividly, and I don't remember memories vividly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're in a hotel room. It's just me, my brother, and my dad, and he said, you know, we're a team. We don't walk away from each other. We don't leave each other, and we're the Faulkner boys. And before we left Singapore, I mean, we had that moment again, except with Jacob included. You know, we're the Faulkner boys. We're going to we're going to help each other out, we're stick together, and we'll never walk away from each other. Anyone, if one of the members is falling down, we all pick them up and we all move forward. And that is, you know, the impact I want to try and bring out.
Good, good. And does he have a relationship with your mother now?
No, not really. I mean, he, for him, you know, the past is the past. He's, I mean, Every now and then, he might exchange a few words here and there, but he doesn't really talk with her that much. He
okay.
just says, you know, what I mean, our relationship with our mother is our business, and life goes on pretty much.
Good for him. Okay, well, that's good. Now, what's your plan for college?
My plan for college is to, well, for starters, I'm getting my associate's in science. I got one more year to do that. And then after that, I'm still thinking about going towards engineering. At the same time, I've been told many times that, you know, I could look at law or politics or something like that, where I could mm-hmm. make a difference in this community. And I'm still not sure where I really want to go, and I'm very open to another direction. At the same time, I just haven't given it much thought.
Well, I think, you know, a great place for you would be to go into the mental health profession. And pretty soon, all of the experts we have are going to be old in nursing homes, and we're going to need somebody like you to work with kids who are alienated. So think about that, Andrew, because I can't imagine
okay.
anybody better than somebody who has been an alienated child who understands this backwards and forwards as much as you do.
Okay.
And what a gem you would be. So there's another option for you, but I think you've got the whole world by the tail right now, and you are going to be successful at whatever you do. Tell me, how do people find the Bring Jacob of Folklore Home Facebook page? What's the address?
Well, like the URL, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it would just be www.facebook.com. I think there's then /bring.jacob.folklore, which is folklore.home, and that's pretty much it. I made sure it was easy to find.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. And then your YouTube videos, they're posted, and how do people find those easily? And I'm just mainly, I mean, I know how to find them, but some people don't know how to navigate the Internet.
Yeah.
You know, we're a little old, and so sometimes technology eludes us. So how do you find your YouTube videos?
Well, the YouTube channel name is Jacob Folklore, J-A-C-O-B-F-O-L-K-L-E-R. If you want to find specific videos, you could just type in my name, Andrew, parental alienation videos, you can find it, or you want the actual titles, you know, there's parental alienation part 1, 2, 3, and 4, part 5 is in the making, and then there's also Andrew's introduction, then there's William's videos, which are memories with Jacob, and then dash, it'll say something else, like the basketball incident, or the 2:30 alarm clock, kind of
okay.
thing.
Perfect.
And there's also my dad's video, which I think he's still in the midst of making a second one app to follow it, which is called Background Story Dash Dad. All of it can be found under the YouTube channel Jacob Folklore.
Okay, and your dad's name is Philip, right? Okay, all right. Well, I'm amazed by you, and I know everybody else is and will be too. Andrew, thank you. This has been, you know, our episode. Meet the Folklores. I love talking to you, and I told you over and over and over how proud I am of you, how you are just a jewel in this world of parental alienation, and I want you to keep up the good work, and let's stay in contact. And we will watch the progress of the Bring Jacob Home campaign, because I'm hopeful that he will be back with his brothers and his dad, and still having a relationship with his mom, because, you know, that's his mom. And I know that you will support that. So let's sign off for now, but you know call me anytime. We've talked on the phone several times, and let's definitely stay in touch and keep everybody posted on what's going on. We'll do a follow-up show very soon and see where
Excellent.
You are and what's happening. Appreciate you. One thing I want to ask you, one more question. What would you say to Gloria, because she can hear the show, and it'll be archived, and she can play the show, and chances are pretty good that she might. So what would you say to Gloria if you had the chance?
Okay. Well, if I were talking to Gloria, I think the first thing I would say is, you know, I don't hate you. I just want my brother back. I'm not going to take him away from you. I'm not going to prevent you from seeing him. I just want my brother back. And I once told you that if you don't let this happen, then I will finish this. And this is me finishing this. And that's pretty much all I would say.
Good. And then what would you say to alienated children if they should happen to pick up this show and take a listen?
Well, to all the alienated children, I would probably say in a divorce, there's three truths. There's moms, there's dads, and there's the truth. If you want to know the truth, you have to find it yourself. It will result in a lot of emotional pain, and it will result in a lot of distress, but at least you know the truth, and no one can lie to you, and no one can take that away from you, because that's what I did with my second divorce, and that's how I knew who to believe in all the turmoil.
You're just brilliant. You are brilliant. And I thank you again. We'll sign off for now. You have a wonderful, wonderful night, Andrew, and tell your father we're thinking of him. And we will talk very soon. This is Jill Ajizi, and you were listening to Family Matters. This show will be archived. You share it with as many people as you can. Everybody is touched by divorce, and there are hundreds of thousands of alienated children worldwide, millions of alienated children worldwide, and hundreds of thousands of alienated parents that need help, and they have broken hearts, and we need to help these kids and these parents reunite. So share the show, and stay tuned for upcoming shows that will address this issue. Thank you so much for listening. This was Family Matters, and I'm Jill Ajizi. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Bye-bye.